There's only one place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning, and this is it. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
You know, we give Israel $3 billion a year, and we pay three-quarters of the tab for NATO, who's supposedly fighting Putin. You know what? Putin is Europe's problem. Israel can take off the training wheels. We got Guatemalan kids in Ebola on our border.
Not that the Guatemalan kids have Ebola, all right, just to clarify that. We do have dozens of people who have crossed into the United States from nations that have been hit with Ebola, but we don't know what the healthcare status is of them. That was Bill Maher being a smart aleck, like he is from time to time. But basically what he's saying is let's focus on what's right in front of America first. And I frankly wish we had. Now, on the Ebola thing, someone help me out on this. Because we have the federal government and we have, you know, all of the medical correspondents for the various networks saying Ebola is very hard to transfer from one person to another. People should not overreact. People should not panic. Medical expert said that he would not mind flying on the same plane as someone with Ebola. Okay, so think about all that and contrast it with what you just heard from Aaron Katursky from ABC News. What did you hear from Aaron's top of the hour report? That the woman, a healthcare worker from America, is returning from, I think, from Liberia with Ebola, and she's being taken from the airport in a, quote, specially designed, close quote, ambulance lined with covers so that none of her bodily fluids in any way, and I'm guessing the body fluid, can that include saliva? Can that include perspiration? Can that include, a wet cough? I don't know, but bottom line here is they have a specially designed ambulance lined with covers, taking her to Emory Medical Center, where she will be placed in an isolation unit. So if they're taking all of these incredible precautions because of this one person, then how is it that Americans are overreacting by worrying about an outbreak of Ebola? Okay, you want to tell me which is it? I can sit next to a guy with Ebola on the airplane and I'm going to be okay versus
we have no skin showing and I'm wearing a gas mask.
I'm moving into the safety chamber right now.
Yes.
Seal the airlock, please.
That's right, the airlock. Wait, I just want to know, which is it?
Are any people from the CDC involved in all of this treatment of the Americans with the Ebola that are being brought into Atlanta?
You know who's doing this? I can't say enough about these people. I'm so grateful that so many American Christian missionary workers are doing aid work.
Yeah.
And it's not solely, but it is preponderantly religious-inspired people who are sharing their God-given talent as they see it that they've developed to help run schools, to help construct. I know an optician an optometrist in Bellevue who brings eye care, takes a couple weeks off and goes to the third world and does eye exams and helps children. And then these aid workers are helping out doing aid work with people they know have Ebola. And I read an account in a British newspaper about a British woman. It's very hot and humid in these countries, and yet she has to be like double wrapped in
to prevent the spread
in gloves and aprons and headwear and facial wear. She can't have any skin showing. And she goes and she empties, you know what she does? She empties bedpans.
That's got to be.
Of people who are suffering from Ebola. You know what? These people are, what's that Bible verse?
Incredible sacrifice.
As you have done to the least of those among you, so have you done unto me.
Yeah.
That was Jesus speaking to the apostles.
That covers it, doesn't it?
And boy, does that ever do it.
Now, there's a story just from a couple of weeks ago. I had to pull up the archive because I couldn't remember the specifics. But according to the Wall Street Journal, July 11th, 2014, the CDC, after accidents with anthrax and a deadly flu strain in recent weeks, the CDC temporarily halted the shipment of samples from its high-security laboratories and said it will review safety procedures with external advisors. CDC said a lab that works regularly with flu viruses at the agency had accidentally cross-contaminated a low-pathogenic H9N2 virus sample with the strain of the more deadly virus H5N1 flu strain. So I'm just hopeful that the CDC isn't in the mix here on what we're doing with this Ebola stuff.
Or as they said at the centers.
Something.
Oopsie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, no, I do not want, I'm very careful not to spread panic or undue concern or exaggeration on the airwaves. But I'm just raising the question that we keep being told in these, you know, by all these medical experts in their sing-song tones, there's nothing to worry about. Do not overreact. In fact, Ebola is next to impossible to for one person to contract from another, and then contrast it with what we just heard.
Yeah.
About this specially designed ambulance and the, you know, the
precautions,
the lining that they covered in the ambulance, and that she's placed in an isolation unit.
Let's just hope that Kevin Bacon doesn't show up wearing an ROTC uniform going, remain calm,
yes,
all is well.
Or Dustin Hoffman pop
all
out of the
well
ambulance.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is the latest on the Ebola. And by the way, I am glad they brought these Americans back. And again, we are so grateful, you know, for all they are doing. When you hear about kids going down to Mexico and other countries to, you know, do mission work,
El Salvador, perhaps.
Well, yeah, I got my son Matthew down there right now, and you know, I've never been more proud of Matthew than to hear that he's doing this second trip, just because he likes going down there and helping people, and. You know, they see what we would call rank deprivation in this country. Maybe there's a little bit of electricity. Maybe they've got, you know, a dirt field where they can, you know, play sporting events. You know, they have a cinder block building for a school. But they're trying. And they're doing the best they can. And here come these Americans, you know, helping them out. So everyone benefits. The Americans get to realize just how lucky they are. And they get to share some of their talent and energy helping these kids. And these aid workers who are going around the world for various, you know, health organizations and, you know, relief groups. Yeah, you just can't say enough about them. You know, we're so lucky. All right, let's bring it back local here on the Commute with Carlson. Did you hear about this woman in Yelm? She was leaving in her car. I think she was going to be delivering some cupcakes. And a 46-year-old man tried to carjack her vehicle. And when she wouldn't give up her car, he beat her and left her laying outside her car. Did I tell you that this woman is 84 years old? Here's what happened to the carjacker. The story comes to us from Channel 7.
A carjacker attacked and beat an 84-year-old woman who was out delivering cupcakes.
It happened outside a bowling alley in Yelm this morning. Cairo 7's Nick McGurk is there live, and you just obtained the surveillance video of that incident, Nick.
Steve, it was hard to watch. It was Mavis McDonald, the victim, and please tell us she is not doing well, suffering from bruising and internal bleeding. Right now she's at the hospital, also being examined for possible broken bones.
We're all outraged. I mean, everybody knows Mavis.
We obtained this surveillance video. Police say Lane Bennett is seen running across the street, demanding the keys of 84-year-old Mavis McDonald, who was waiting in her car to bring cupcakes to her bowling team. When McDonald didn't give up her keys, police say she was beaten up.
To take it to that extreme, I mean, he had been on something out of his mind, obviously.
Police say Bennett was speaking in gibberish and is suspected of being on drugs. We obtained this surveillance footage showing him speeding away in the Good Samaritan's truck, who stopped. We spoke to Wayne Potter, the truck's owner, over the phone. He told us he saw Mavis McDonald on the ground, and once he got out of his truck, that Bennett was running toward it. Police tell us they followed Bennett on a 15-minute high-speed pursuit. We were showing you photos of when police tried to pin him in a ditch. That's when police say Bennett backed his truck over the black police car trying to escape. Then police say Bennett ran from the truck, tried to carjack someone else, and was tased.
I wouldn't say anything other than knock him out. I'm sorry, but that's how I feel. You know, you don't beat an 80-some-year-old woman down for a few dollars or her car.
This woman is 84. You know, my mom is 80, and I couldn't get it out of my head that if my mom were in her car and some guy yanks her car door open and orders her out of her car, and she doesn't give it up right away, and he starts pummeling her. What, this woman is in the hospital with potential broken bones and internal bleeding? Am I hearing this right? This guy is worse than evil. And they say he was crazed. He was, they assume, on some sort of drugs. But, you know, there's lots of people who are having bad trips on drugs who don't beat up old ladies. So, man, I hope this guy is looking at maximum charges. And I don't mean assault two. I mean assault one, and the difference in prison time. They're both strikes. But the difference in prison time is substantial. This is just absolutely infuriating. And, you know, he tries to get away, and when the police corner him, he uses his truck as a deadly weapon to smash the police car behind
it. It's not his truck. Didn't he steal? No,
he stole the truck. He stole the truck from the Good Samaritan.
He stopped and
parked.
Yeah,
when I said his car, I meant the car he was driving. You're absolutely right.
And this
he stole the truck.
This was a huge F-250 truck. It was a giant truck that the guy stole.
Well, you know, I've often said that if anyone drives aggressively at a police officer who is trying to stop them, whether they're in a stolen car or their own car, if the person makes aggressive moves at an officer in their car, the officer ought to take out his gun and just empty it. Because as far as I'm concerned, when you drive at a police officer or when you try and smash a police officer's car or run a police officer's motorcycle off the road, you are using a deadly weapon that could kill a police officer who's trying to enforce the law, who's trying to keep the peace. So, I mean, I am ruthless on people like this. And even before he drove the stolen truck and smashed the police car with it, look what he did to this poor elderly lady.